My horniness is killing me, and I must confess, I need some D, need some D.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen every Monday live on Digital Stream Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today we're going to bring back Dr. G. We love him. He is our amazing doctor that joins us once a month. Today's topic is relevant to the current COVID-19 pandemic. Much like Valentina on RuPaul's Drag Race, most men nowadays, in the midst of this pandemic, are saying, I'd like to keep it on, please. It's basically how to safely engage sexually during a pandemic. We're going to have that and much more with the great doctor on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
He's struggling today. Welcome you all to The Dish. So it's been quite an interesting week, to say the least. And
it's only Monday.
I know. It's only Monday. I'm just saying last week was just, you know, we're always referring to the last week, right? What we did last week. It's been crazy. So I'm going to start off by letting you know my craziness. My week was hell. We had a storm that came through last week on Tuesday, right around 5:30 p.m. or 6, that just completely destroyed most of the Northeast, if not most of the territory in where the company that I work for takes or services. And so there were outages everywhere, tree limbs everywhere. It looked like a bomb went off on my street, and I had no power for 3 days. And so we had to cancel Breezy Mom's podcast. A lot of things couldn't happen because, as a result of not having power in the studio. But we were going through it. I worked 70 hours in 4 days. Mm-hmm. It was intense.
And I lost power and I came over. When I lost power, you had power, so I came over.
I had power throughout the entire storm.
Binging a show, yeah. And then I left because my power came back on, and you lost
and she
your
took,
power that
she
night.
She took it with her. But nonetheless, you know, it was a very incredible thing. But, you know, we had over 107,000 customers without power. Mm. And by day three, we had 80,000 customers restored. And so that was a big endeavor. And that was an amazing endeavor. I'm part of the company that I work for. And, you know, when things like this happen, we come together and do what we need to do. And so I looked today, and today we had about 2,000 customers left. And so when you think about it, 6 days later, today's Monday's day six, that was great work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look around, I mean, trees were down everywhere. Yes. I mean, like fully alive trees. I'm not talking like dead trees that should have fallen from the wind. They split in half.
Yeah.
Yes. Like it was crazy.
The damage is way worse in Northern Connecticut than it is down here. Places in Windsor and Windsor Locks still don't have power. They're not expected to get it back till tomorrow.
And it's crazy, but you know, what a lot of people don't realize.
Your company doesn't power that area.
No, we don't.
That's Eversource.
And that company, I think, is under fire a little bit right now.
Under fire.
They
every single storm. Let's face it. I mean, they lost a CEO the last time when Sandy came through. Mm-hmm. They had to sort of kind of rebrand and remove themselves from certain areas. Massachusetts didn't want them anymore. And so that's how we ended up with Eversource in the rest of the state of Connecticut. And so, you know, it's been tough. But, you know, storms like this come through. It's an act of nature. And all I say to people who lose power, listen, I get it. You have kids, you don't have iPads, you don't have iPhones, you don't have TVs, they're driving you nuts.
The AC is the worst.
It's the worst in the midst of this heat, but you know what? Thank God that it happened in the summertime and it didn't happen in the midst of winter when you can't heat your home. So, you know, you can always take a shower with cold water and cool the fuck off, but you can't do that in the winter. And so be grateful that that happened when it did, because during Sandy, I remember we went through Sandy. Sandy happened in September. And then people in our territory were out of power for like 9 days. And shortly after that, October 31st, we had a storm called Alfred come through. It was an ice storm with a lot of like heavy snow. And it literally decimated the entire Eastern Seaboard because we weren't expecting a frozen precipitation that early in the season. And so the trees still had leaves on them. And so things were just falling. And right then and there, when you have over 70,000, 80,000 people without power in a very cold winter spell in the month of October, that's the problem when you can't heat your home, right? And you've got all these elderly folks that need power because, you know, they're trying to keep warm. And that's a mess. Be thankful that this happened in the summer because it could be worse. And but nonetheless, you know, I went through it. I have been motherfucked left and right for the past 4 days over the phone. It was an incredible experience, lethargic to say the least. You know, so here's a story, and I get it. Like I said, it's frustrating not having power, right? We have relied on power for so much, and it's become something that we can't live without, right? Everything that we do is involved with some sort, in some way, shape, or form, with power. Computers, food, storage, everything.
My vibrator.
Your vibrator, air conditioning. Although you need to sort of kind of work on battery ones, okay?
No, I just need to charge it.
Yeah, I know. So his is USB. Go figure. With a rechargeable battery you can't remove, like your iPhone. And that's the other thing, right? Keeping iPhones charged, having to go to your car, leave your car on, freaking, you know, running and freaking idle so that you can charge your phone to at least be able to make a phone call. It's just overall. So anyway, day one is, hi, I would like to report outage. By day five, look, you goddamn motherfuckers, where the fuck is my power? It's intense.
My favorite was day four, though.
Day four?
Yeah.
Why?
Because not only did you not have power, but your building didn't have power.
Irony. Yeah.
I still can't get the picture of Trish with a cord, with a non-cordless dildo. Like, I'm like picturing, you know,
no, it's
like
cordless.
It's cordless, just
but you need to plug it. Because all I was picturing, like, the whole time is like the firefighters coming, not because someone, you know, dropped a toaster in the tub with them.
She went Trish, in.
She dropped her fucking dildo, zapped herself.
I can't. But hey, anyway,
I wouldn't put it past me.
Exactly.
We got through it. It's been a one hell of a week, but we survive as we always do, and you know. Now, the majority of everyone has power, and we can, well, at least in our service territory, and we can move on, and hopefully we won't get any bad storms coming up, because one of the worst things about New England is we are covered in trees, and they're very old trees, right? And that causes a lot of damage. A little storm can really do some serious damage because of that. So that was my week in a nutshell. So, Chris, how are you, my dear?
I made money. What was the name of the storm?
This storm was like called Isaiah or something like that.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you call it Nemo? Do something easy.
There was a Nemo.
I know.
Anywho, this storm made me money because like all the hotels on Route 75 in Windsor Locks were all full.
Mm.
And we were like the only restaurant that's not fast food. So we were absolutely insane pretty much all week.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I was working, nothing exciting. I was just, you know, busy working.
But you made good money, which is important.
I got an apartment to move into. Her.
Hey,
you heard that?
Into her.
I think a little. We already disclosed I'm struggling, and I'm not hungover.
A little bit.
No, I'm just dehydrated.
Yeah, he's dehydrated.
He had his blood drawn today.
Same.
So.
Yeah, too.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Trish, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. Living my life.
Mm.
Nothing much to report.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing at all?
No. I'm volunteering a lot and giving, like, I'm joining a bunch of committees and stuff because I'm unemployed, which is kind of fun, but then
Well, that's a good thing.
Gotta stay occupied.
Well, yeah, and I also have to, like, stay involved in the community so that, like, I don't lose my, like, whatever status. I don't even want to call it status, but, like, you know what I mean?
Your
like,
prevalence in the community. I mean, it's important to stay engaged even when you're not able to.
Yeah, so, I mean, but then it's like, you realize, this is actually a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, I actually spent a couple days last week just dealing with some of the committees that I'm on now and planning events that are coming up that are all virtual. It's been interesting, and I have a really exciting opportunity coming up, but I'm not going to talk about it on the air because...
Not yet.
It's not the right time.
Well, I mean, and you do have experience in the virtual, in creating virtual, like, content. And then you get fired, so hopefully these committees don't let you go afterwards. Like, oh, yeah, we're just going to use her for her skills.
No, I mean, they can let me go afterwards. They're not paying me.
Well, of course. I mean, it's voluntary, but, you know.
But, Yeah, no.
Get what you need and then let her go.
Other than that, I mean, like, I went away this weekend to the same place I've been, the only place I've been
right
during COVID, which is Paul's sister's house.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time. Love their kids. Sit by the pool, relax. But other than that, no, I'm just kind of like biding my time until I'm 33.
It's almost there.
33 so. And 20 pounds heavier.
And that's okay. But at least you fit in those amazing shorts, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I have gone on this kick of ordering these super comfortable shorts from Woof. It's a company that does apparel for bearish men.
I'm not a bear.
But you're not a bear. Cub. You're a seal cub, but those shorts look amazing on you. So anyway,
did you just say you're a seal cub?
Yeah, yes, imagine 100%. That.
That's seal pup, sorry.
Seal pup. That is, it's a new...
It's from Looking.
Yeah. So,
it's like a hairless, semi-chunky twink.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
So he's wearing his, I'm wearing mine. So I ended up ordering a whole bunch because I love them so much. You know, nothing like better than free balling. And so I ordered a pair for Trish and I said, here, try these on. And she's like, oh my God, these are so comfortable. And so she has them on.
Yeah, they're
so
amazing.
It's all about
they're
comfort.
They're a little short, but yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We have the table to cover everything.
Yeah, that's exactly. Okay.
I mean, it doesn't really help with the odor that I'm getting from the both of you.
I mean, I can still see it, but you're good. Excuse you? Mr. Odor. Come up in here like protruding booze?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
No.
No. Anyway, but yeah, it's been a very interesting week to say the least.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's over. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that today's Monday and we're here. We're able to do the show for you guys and have some amazing stuff. So we do have a couple of stories. I'm excited for Dr. G. It is 6:17 p.m. So we do have maybe room for one story and maybe sort of kind of discuss on that and then move on and bring our guest on. So which one shall it be first?
I mean, I will take it if Chris isn't ready.
Do it up.
All right.
Because I might change mine, actually.
All right. So I didn't even know this was a thing, but I guess states have kid governors and kid mayors.
Right.
Which is amazing. But this article is from May of 2020. So it is a little old, but I just found out about it.
I like myself.
But this kid governor was elected mayor.
Governor.
I mean, this kid governor was elected governor because of his stance on LGBTQ plus rights.
Right.
And it is it's really amazing. We're going to post the video on the website tonight, but I'm just going to give you like a brief thing that he says in the thing. So the reason he was elected: they believe in my vision of LGBTQ youth safety, says Briggs. As Connecticut's kid governor, I finally had a platform to advocate for something I feel very strongly about. People, especially students and children, should not be going through their daily feeling ashamed or afraid to be who they truly are.
Right.
And then he goes on to talk about a story where I'm going to say they.
Because.
Yes.
The name is Ella Briggs, yeah, by the way.
So I'm going to say they. So they go on to tell a story about a time where they had to
do an art project
with gingerbread men.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl.
Or women.
Yeah, and the girls were tasked to make them with dress or skirts and like a top, and the boys had to make them with pants, a suit, and a bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do it with the bow tie. They liked the bow tie better.
And pants.
Mind you, they have an amazing bow tie on in this video.
Yes.
Amazing. It's,
and of course, because you're all about it, you know.
Rainbow, 100%.
Yes, so, I mean, I could see you putting on that bow tie.
So, this kid decided to do the bow tie.
Uh-huh.
They liked the bow tie. And then the teacher came up and said, that's not what you were supposed to do. Crumpled up the gingerbread cookie, threw it out in front of the entire class. They all laughed at them. And
they felt horrible.
And they cried.
Horrified.
And it was terrible. It, like, what the fuck? Mind you, also, I don't think I mentioned that. Oh, no, I did. This kid is from Connecticut. Like,
that's
that
right.
Happened in Connecticut.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How crazy is that?
Yep. And I think that the speech was incredibly unforgettable. It was just one of those moments in where you're watching, they do something like unforgettable. It's incredible. It was seriously one of the best spoken orated speeches that I have ever seen a child
better
of
than
that age.
Show.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, better than my openers. Like, seriously. It was incredible. And to see someone that young, they are amazing.
That proud, that strong. It kind of gives you hope, almost. Like, we see, you know, our politicians of a certain age. Some now are younger. We're infusing more life into our Congress and our Senate, which is amazing. But at the same time, you see somebody like this, and it gives you hope for the future. It gives you hope that, like, these kids will grow up to be the future of what America should be.
That's right.
And, like, kids at this age will be able to feel safe and feel at home wherever they are and whatever school they are, because they have people, mm-hmm. individuals, and people that are supporting those individuals standing up for one another.
Right.
Not to mention, like, talk about a young emerging leader. That's amazing.
It was great. I mean, to watch it, I had an outer body experience watching this person. So anyway, because we do this show, I'm a type of person that I'm constantly looking at people who are great orators or people that do public speaking, period. And I sit there and I count how many times they say, not once. Not once.
Or like.
That is skill.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was like, okay, this person, this young, beautiful soul, has a gift, and he or they or them
or she
are taking this and running with it and creating something absolutely beautiful for all of the young children that are going to be coming up in this generation and really stand out.
And it's more important than ever, because one thing, and a link that Trish had sent me, there was another link I clicked on, and it's something about conservative activists who are really pushing for the Trump campaign, especially on behalf of the American Principles Project, APP, to really make attacking transgender youth the cornerstone of his reelection campaign, because they feel that he's failed on coronavirus. He's failed to maintain a strong economy that he boasts. So right now in this, it's saying that the APP is debuting two ads next week in Michigan that attack Joe Biden for allegedly endorsing, quote, gender change treatments for minors, citing his support for measures to fight against LGBTQ youth, homelessness, school bullying, sexual assault, and suicide. First, how is combating that a bad thing, first right. of all, regardless of what you know,
yeah, right.
fighting for kids? And then, excuse me, there's another bill up. For vote, it's not passed in Ohio, but it would send doctors to jail and charge them with a felony for performing treatments on transgender youth that they say right. cause irreversible damage.
Well, one of the most important things that I think
hold on, time out. So, like, performing
gender reassignment surgeries that they can be charged.
What?
There'll be physicians would, under this bill, an Ohio bill, physicians would be charged with third degree felony for providing, quote, therapeutic or surgical procedures intended to alter the gender of someone under the age of 18, end quote. And okay. could face up to 3 years in prison.
Okay, I get the thing about the under 18 thing, but if they have parental consent,
right.
that's bullshit.
Right.
That is 100% right. bullshit. And it does not, what if anything, it makes their life better.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to bring it back really quick to Ella. So one of the things that we have to realize, right, how impactful this is the fact that not only was Ella openly gay, but she ran on a platform supporting LGBTQ rights, which was and has been pretty much unimaginable for elementary age school students.
Fifth grade,
mm-hmm. right? It's unimaginable to think that your parents would be okay with having somebody run on that platform at such a young age.
100%.
It's incredible. This is historic.
I mean, y'all know that I'm like super gay.
Yeah.
And like super, you know, I promote like all gay rights, all this and all that.
Right.
But like when I was in high school, we did this thing. I think it was called Names. And it was like an assembly thing where we all came together and we talked about, you know, being nice to one another, racism, homosexuality, and all that stuff. And people had turns to get up and speak. And I was 15. I came out at 16. So this was a year prior to me coming out. But I remember getting up and saying, I know that everybody in this school thinks that I'm gay, but I'm not. And you really need to realize that and stop making fun of me or saying things about me. And then I came out a year later.
But, you're like, but remember that?
But that's the thing. It's like, I was 15. Mm-hmm. I was in, what? I was a sophomore?
Mm-hmm.
This individual is in fifth fucking grade.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that also comes with support and like mm-hmm. the right people behind you and all
it's,
of that.
It's the right time. Right. It's we've gotten to a point. I mean, school today is completely different from what school was in 1996 or 1994 when I was, you know, in my last year of high school, or when you think about
2000s, you know, I'm just
or even 2000s. Right. And so we are in a completely different space right now when it comes to the conversation surrounding LGBTQ mm-hmm. rights and schools and acceptance.
I mean,
and it's a beautiful thing to see.
I graduated in 2005. And I was one of two gay people that were out
right
at that point. And believe me, there have been plenty that have come out since. But like, it's crazy to think about that,
right?
Like, there are probably, that I know of, 10 to 15 people in my, you know, 4,000 person high school that have come out mm-hmm. at this point, right?
Right.
And like, back then it was two.
Exactly. And, yeah.
And now in elementary school, we have fourth and fifth graders saying
they're out there being advocates,
whether they're, you know, out, whatever, they're mm-hmm. advocates, and they're talking and people are supporting them. It's beautiful.
It really is beautiful. And we've come such a long way. I mean, luckily, you know, we are gaining wins across the country over time. You know, we have some setbacks and a lot of work to still do, but even like someone we had talked about in the show in the past, I believe it was after their death, these two soldiers who were in love with each other. Remember we talked about the story mm-hmm. and the world only found out that they were gay through their love letters after their mm-hmm. death. Yep. So these people spent an entire lifetime having to hide who they truly were. Mm-hmm. And this individual isn't, like we said, in fifth grade, mm-hmm. standing up there with their rainbow bow tie, mm-hmm. preaching love at such a young age and receiving such great acceptance.
Right. And to reiterate too, this is Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of states where this is not okay.
And not even possible.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a beacon of hope.
Mm-hmm. Right. Agreed. All right. Well, listen, this conversation was amazing. We can pick it up after we have our guests come on and join us. Of course, that's going to be Dr. G. He's going to join us after the break. We're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, the great doctor joins us once again. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just to say. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. They're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land in the first place. They're coming just the same. head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same.
All right, welcome back from the break, ladies and gents. That, of course, was Wastelands by Amanda Barrick. She's a previous guest of ours. Her debut album released on 7/31. That was July 31st. I should have just said that. And you can go get that album or listen to it on any of your like streaming services. It is available today, and it is fantastic. It is not only music, but also spoken word. So check her out. She's awesome. She is a gift. And she is also the daughter of one of our favorite guests, Linda Stay. And so you should check her out. So anyway, joining us now, of course, is the awesome Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical for this month's Tales from the Tale. Our topic today is how to engage sexually during this pandemic, which is the question on many people, especially in the LGBT community.
Should we play him the opener before?
You want it? You want to?
Kinda.
Right?
Yeah.
We should do that?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do that. Let's play the opener and see. Let me make sure, first of all, that it's not going to go like go into the next one, but here we go.
My horniness is killing me, and I must confess, I need some D, need some D.
And that is it. Welcome, Dr. Goldstein, to the show.
That's fucking awesome.
Right, isn't it?
How perfect.
I think it's beyond fitting. Even that song that we were listening to before had a little bit of fucking in it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. So that is Amanda Barrick, and she is just fantastic. She's also a member of the LGBT community, and she does great music, great spoken word albums, and we loved having her on the show just as much as we love having you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, how's everybody? How's your summer?
Summer has been interesting, to say the least.
Hot.
Right? Hot, yeah.
I'm unemployed. It's great.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
You should throw Nick on your payroll and make him, like, do, like, you know, all that craziness for you.
We'll have to talk offline.
Yes.
Fundraise for you?
Yeah,
or, we could do that. I don't know, publicity? I mean...
She could clean the equipment that you put up
I'll
people's
butts.
I'll
lose 15 pounds and do the publicity, sure.
Yeah.
So, it's like, what was the movie where they were putting on that crazy... festival and it didn't go on. Did you see the fire festival? Did you see the documentary?
What? Oh, about the down in where was that? Was that
it was one of the Caribbean islands.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Very fucked up. And the guy was like, you need to go in there and suck that guy's dick.
Yeah.
And
he's like, the guy for Evian Water.
And he did.
The guy for Evian Water, and he almost did it. He was like, I was ready to do it.
I thought he did do it.
We covered this story on the show. No, he didn't do it. He was ready
to,
though.
Where was I?
Oh, honey, probably somewhere in the sky. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. G, how the hell are you, my friend?
Everything's good. Life's moving on. You know, it's a new normal, but but living the dream as much as we can. The kids are getting older, and I can't believe it's already middle of August. It's fucking crazy. Mm.
Tell me about
it. I mean, summer's done. I mean, our fall is right around the corner, literally. It's 4 weeks from now, the 21st of September, it's officially fall.
I know. It's crazy. And I thought that the world would go a little bit slower because of everything, but I think not. Oh, my God. It's been crazy.
Like I always say, time flies when you're on Prozac.
I was all like, I'm unemployed. I'm going to take this time. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be with me. And I'm like, oh, shit. I've got like 2 weeks until I have to start a job. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So we're going to have to fix that.
But are you guys hooking up? What are you guys doing?
I tried. So I have a confession to make. So I had someone over last night, someone that I met online, and
I wiped down the whole house when I got here.
Craigslist.
Yeah, and so did I. No, it wasn't Craigslist. It was Scruff. Thank you very much. So we had talked about a week and a half ago, and the conversation was amazing. Nothing sexual. It was just really a great conversation. I'm like, you know what? I really would like to meet you. You should come over. We'll hang out or whatever. And he ended up staying over last night, but we didn't have any sex. And the reason being is because I didn't want to. I was too concerned with COVID and the fact that this person is traveling and about to start a new job. And if I had something like COVID, I didn't want to impact the fact that he's about to start a new job, and that could affect his livelihood. And so we ended up hanging out and cooking outside, and he stayed in my guest room, and then he left this morning, and it was just an amazing thing. And we seriously had a very, very open conversation about how COVID is affecting the LGBT community and how we meet people and how we engage people and whether or not that even turns into something sexual, right?
Yeah. And no, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the interesting thing for me was we at Bespoke Surgical are constantly looking at risk all the time, right? And now because of COVID, now everybody else is looking now at much more their own risk, and whether it's from an STD perspective, whether or not, and I look at COVID-19 as an STD, you know, right. I put it in the panel for all the other STDs. If someone, you know, if I'm hooking up with someone and I'm sucking face, clearly there's a significant risk. Mm-hmm. Now, we also know that, you know, there's not a lot of data. Obviously, we're learning more and more. Clearly, the saliva, mucus, and breath, but there are some studies that have looked at some semen and feces contamination that may or may not be part of this kind of transmission. So it's still kind of unclear whether, you know, rimming or anal or vaginal sex can actually transmit COVID-19. But the assumption needs to be that all of that, especially if we're doing oral, anal, that there's definitely a potential risk that everybody takes. But it's a risk that we're taking for chlamydia and gonorrhea. Right. There's all those risks. And how do we look at them and try to mitigate them as much as possible for allowing everyone to live the life that they want?
Right. Right. And you were talking about these studies where it comes to fecal matter and or semen. And I know that a while back, I had read a couple articles that said that it was found in semen. So you're saying it's kind of unsure, they don't really know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that the data, especially within semen, was still very short in the short time frame of when they were positive. So, like, yeah, you would anticipate, especially if they didn't bust a load, you know. A lot of times when you're sick, people don't feel sexy, but you really actually want to keep the pump moving.
Oh, yeah, I always do when I'm sick.
I do too.
Always. My excuse since I was like a kid was like, just get the germs out of me.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. And so with that, you know, when you looked at that study, it doesn't look overly convincing. It was like within 14 days of them being infected. And a lot of those people were, when you nasal swabbed them, they were still positive for COVID.
Right,
so you
right.
would think that it would be. I think the data needs to be looking longer term, or looking to say, oh, you know, if you're asymptomatic and you don't know you're a carrier and you're going out there and going out and about and getting off and blah, 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 are you potentially at risk? Well, I think when you look at people's sexual play, most people are using orally in their acts, right? So whether it's kissing, whether it's sucking, rimming, licking, all those things, mm-hmm. you know, those are the secretions that people should be worried about and concerned about.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about in this article, not about, you know, trying to tell people what to do, but evaluating their sex life, knowing that they're not going to listen to necessarily right. your advice of not engaging or engaging, whatever it is. But then you go on to talk about the best ways to engage. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that process.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I think one of the things that I'm getting every 2 weeks COVID testing in the office. It's just because my exposure, but everyone that comes to our office has to wear a mask. We're wearing masks. And when you look at the data, when people are actually abiding by that, it's very, very low risk mm-hmm. of them being temperature normal and wearing a mask. I think the key is you have to look at your exposure in the world, right? And we'll go over partners' exposures. But if you're out and about and you're Fire Island and you're not wearing masks and you're partaking in activities, etc., I think you have to look and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be more socially responsible, just like you were last night with that guy. You may both wanted to hook up, but at the end of the day, you were saying, hey, how do I kind of look socially within to figure out my own responsibility. And with that, you start to say, okay, is it once a month? Is it every other week? What are the ways in which you can be held somewhat accountable? And I say to people, it's even like going to your parents' house or going to a friend's house. You're not going to mitigate all the risk, but if you like had a test 2 days before you went to something or to engage with somebody and that was negative and you are asymptomatic, the likelihood of you having a positive COVID screen test is really, really low. And so with that, I think the key is you figuring out. Now, a lot of people, some people have the antibodies. It does look like it is protective. I don't know. We don't know for how long. And I usually tell people, even if you have a positive antibodies, to continue to be socially responsible by getting active COVID testing to show people, also wearing masks and doing the normal roles. Now,
when you say protective, can you explain that term a little bit more, please?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it's the typical hygiene stuff, right? Washing hands, making sure that after you're, you know, touching money or going to the bank and the teller or things like that, that you're really being responsible from that perspective, right? Okay. I think also it's wearing a mask that's an appropriate barrier, and making sure that whoever you're coming into contact does that. You know, New York and Connecticut and all these, we're really, really low. The numbers are where they need to be. And I think it's because people are being socially responsible. But now we're getting to the point where people haven't had sex for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're jonesing to get out and start playing. And the question is, how do you kind of create a world that is safe? And I think, you know, look, the options are, if you don't want to meet up with people, how do you start to bring new things into your at-home play?
Right.
Which is a perfect segue. So like playing solo, but not necessarily solo, right? You can FaceTime, you can sext, you can do all these different things. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, sexting, I think, is the simplest and, you know, the sexiest option. Everyone who doesn't love to kind of create that mythical world, right? And your imagination.
I just sent you something.
Oh, great. With that said, you need to get consent first to make sure. And I think that, again, you know, you got to remember that anything that we're doing, sexting, phone, FaceTime, nowadays, people can get their hands on it. Mm-hmm. And so from a liability perspective, you have to weigh, you know, who you are, where you are, and what you're doing to make sure that you're, you know, really working within the confines of what your barriers are. So sexting, phone sex, you know, phone sex is fun. I mean, it's challenges your imagination. It provides obviously a great practice for really good dirty talk and kind of getting out of your head.
I haven't done that in years.
You haven't done it?
No, I mean, like when back before the iPhone, I remember having a flip phone and being on the phone talking to my boyfriend when I was visiting my family and, you know, having a moment.
I remember the American online chat rooms.
Oh, like, yeah.
I remember a lot of those. You don't really have to do that. Now you're just like, I'm going to FaceTime you and I'm butt-ass naked.
Which is true. And it's more private, too, because you're not doing it on a public forum. But I wanted to talk about the possibility of building your own personal home glory hole.
Hold on. Wait. We're not there yet.
But I was there yet, because that's what I want to know about. Okay, so let's go.
But first, we need to talk about the risk of having sex with somebody that you're living with. You say that...
Well, I think one of the things also was we were talking, whether it's sexting, phone sex, FaceTime, or Zoom, right? Uh-huh. Obviously, privacy and security, that's what you need to make sure. But also, I think, you know, playing with yourself, it's a really great time to start doing some toys and playing and getting into it. If you're a top and always wanted to be a bottom, you know, great. Use some anal dilators. At Bespoke Surgical, we have a shop that has a lot of the ones that I really, really like and why I like them with the lube that I like. And there's a protocol of how to dilate and stretch yourself and kind of start doing anal play. And again, if you're into butt plugs, great. This is a good time to get into dildos or a fleshlight or kind of changing your world and trying to think differently in this time. Right. I think is super, super important for us. And the reality is that most of us don't know our bodies, and this will give a really good time for somebody to explore, to get to understand their true extent from a sexual perspective.
And you even talk about double-sided dildos, which I think that would be perfect for trying to keep not and that's technically a great social distancing, but
you keep your
apart.
Face over there. I'll keep my face over this exactly. way, and we can just sort of kind of doing the butt.
Yeah,
doing
the
butt.
You're right. I think clearly now, if you're horny and you're considering meeting up with other people, you know, you have to think of, all right, well, what's the next safest person? And I think it's clearly, obviously, people that you live with,
right?
You obviously need to take into account to come up with a specific set of rules that fits your household. And we had spoken about this on another story where someone didn't continue to abide by that. So I think having those discussions so that everybody is being tested appropriately and understanding that if they are going to hook up outside this arrangement, that people do communicate that and don't like hold that in or kind of bridge from a judgment perspective. Right. Because at the end of the day, it's trying to risk, and it's not only your own risk. It winds up being a lot of other people's risk.
And they're also honest about what they're doing outside the home when they're not together, right? They're wearing masks. They're being safe. They're doing all those things. They're not just coming home and saying, let's have sex, when we don't know what had happened that day.
Yeah. And again, you may see a trick on the street and be like, let's have sex. And then that's all good and that's fine. But I think the key is when you go home and you're going to be exposing yourself to others, you need to really take onus and get tested and make sure that you're not having issues from that, right? And again, then if you're like saying, okay, I want someone outside of the house, similar type of situation, try to find a monogamous sex buddy that you trust to help kind of minimize your exposure and obviously theirs. You know, I mean, I think group sex play right now should be off limits until we get a better handle on this. Or, and I've said this before, you know, we work with some organizers where everyone gets tested 2 days before, and then they get a temperature check before they go through the door. And we're also using that time to test everybody for STDs, because what a better time if you're not having sex and you're trying to get back into the world, that we make sure that you're completely, completely clean.
Or informed of what you could possibly be exposing someone else to.
Totally, totally. So I think, you know, large gatherings, if you're going to do that, well ventilated, maybe outside, choosing kind of, you know, what's those radical fairies or something like that up by you guys? Aren't you guys into the radical fairies?
Radical fairies.
You
elaborate.
Don't even know what they are? Oh my God. I just gave you a new segment that you need to look them up.
Right. Radical fairies.
I'll write it down.
Write it down,
I'm writing
girl.
It down.
So while he's writing down radical fairies.
Wait, before you talk about glory holes, I know you're so excited about glory holes.
You're like,
we're not
totally ruining
we
my mood right now.
We have a lot to cover. So we have to talk about wearing face masks during sex, because people are having a hard time wearing them just going to the fucking grocery store. But you think it's important to wear them during sex. But what if you're, you know, not facing one another? Do you need to wear them?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that clearly you're just trying to mitigate your risk, right? And when you're wearing the masks, it lowers that considerably. You know, one of the things is trying to keep your distance, right? Vibrating toys, dildos, plugs, masturbators. Obviously, we spoke about the double-ended toys for mutual pleasure. You know, they're great. They're easy to play with, but they're also kind of, you could be facing away from each other. Mm-hmm. And so obviously, you know, just with toys, really make sure that they're clean. Make sure that you clean them after, because toys themselves could transmit infections. So you got to really, really make sure that you're staying on top of them. Also, I think, you know, depending upon which lube that you're using, just make sure that you're using an appropriate lube for the toy. Silicone toys, using silicone lube, it kind of irritates the toy. It kind of desiccates it and ruins it. So you really want to just make sure that whatever you're doing from a lube perspective, that it's safe. Obviously, you know, wearing a face mask during sex, it could be fun. It could be kinky. You know, obviously the leather world has been doing it for a really, really long time. And I think that, you know, again, you have to look and see if it's somebody that you've created a monogamous sex buddy relationship and the risks are low and you want to go there. Great. If it's just a random and you say, hey, you know what, let's do other things besides kissing and kind of, you know, secretions type stuff. I think that that's really great. And it leads us kind of obviously into the glory hole that you so want
to
talk about.
But before we move to the glory hole, that was reminding
me. Tom.
So no, hold on, because you had me thinking about these toys. Remember those little grabbers that your grandma used to have like in the 70s?
We talked about
I missed that already. I was like, you know, you could give someone a handy J from a distance.
So long story short, when you were not on the show, we've had this conversation.
Oh.
So I was thinking maybe, excellent. You know, this is a perfect time to add to your list of things of the pick a window in your house and have them come by and stick their butt in, keep their face and legs out, and then you should be good.
That's like a window hole. But we want to talk about.
But
glory.
I want to talk about glory holes. Yeah, I mean, this glass is sort of kind dangerous. Of like this is like, well, glass is dangerous, but you got to open the window. It's not like
know,
they're like going
the
through the glass.
Window will come down. You know what I'm saying?
Well, literally, you got, prop it up with some wood or something. I mean,
cut a dick
wood
off.
Windows, ass. You know, it goes. No, but I want to talk about this whole concept of like glory hole. Like I was thinking, where would I set up a glory hole in my home?
Oh, so it was so great. We did a art show with Stuart Sanford and Tom of Finland House last year or 2 years ago.
I love Tom of Finland.
And the Tom of Finland House has lots of glory holes. And the best one that I loved was the one going into the basement. I wasn't allowed to go down there because it was like a dungeon or something like that. But they set the glory hole up perfect that like – the person inside was it was like two steps down. So it was like perfect. Like the angles were just so amazing. And the hole was, you know, big enough that like, you know, you didn't get splinters. It was completely, and it had like a rubber, inlay that like, so that like, you know, you didn't cut yourself or anything like that, but it was like a perfect height for whatever you wanted.
That's amazing. Fantastic. Like I have a fascination. Like one of my favorite like porn scenes is a glory hole scene, right? Because it's like there's something interesting about not knowing who's on the other side, right?
Until you find out it's Tom,
and then you're like, oh shit. Well, I mean, if it's Tom of Finland,
no, you
then
asked
maybe.
Them to leave before, so you don't know.
Yeah. So, but there's something to be said about the fact that. You know, you don't know who's on the other side, right? Or you know who's on the receiving end, obviously, because if you're that person, then you know what you're doing. But you don't know who the other person is, and it's sort of kind of
it creates a lot of kink and a lot of interesting, you know, because a lot of people are so judgmental with who they engage with,
right.
but yet they may be sacrificing their sexual kind of. You know, full orgasmic potential to, you know, if it's someone else, right? And
right.
That's like, it's like the masked singer, right? It's like the
exactly.
Masked
singer. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking, right? So you have, like, they had freaking Sarah Palin dressed as a fucking bug and singing, and then she takes off her mask, and people were like, I would have never thought. So, right? So that's the thing about glory holes. It's like, if you're the person who's on your knees or preferably standing up because you're elevated at a perfect, you know, in the perfect step, then you're literally going on blowing, you know, a cock is a cock. And so you don't know what the face
is. You
can't.
A cock is a cock.
You
can't. There's so many different types.
There are different types.
Shape, sizes.
There's shape, sizes,
hues.
Uncut, cut. But my thing is that you can't identify a face with a cock.
Sometimes
you can.
If you're like this in the glory hall, like, bitch, let me see your face.
No, I know some penises.
Oh, okay. Well.
But that being said, I want to address one other thing. I was actually talking to one of my friends this weekend about it, and it's, I hate giving blowjobs with condoms on.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
that's the worst.
These days, that's something we probably should be doing, correct?
Well, clearly the answer is yes, but I don't know anyone that's... has done that in 20 years.
I know. It sounds horrible. I mean, it sounds both dangerous to swallow and spit in current situations, so that would, you know, avoid that. But because the rule of thumb was always to swallow, right? From a doctor's perspective.
Wait, that you're supposed to swallow
yeah.
or you're not?
The medicine, Chris. The medicine.
Oh.
Not because the semen.
You feel like it's got like high in vitamin C or some shit like that?
I don't know. Something
or
like
protein,
that.
A lot
know.
Of protein.
Yeah. But it's like...
Poor Dr. G. I feel
Hold on
so
a second.
Bad.
It reminds me of a story. It's a straight story, but it's an amazing story where these two friends, one of my close friends, him and his brother were living in an apartment together and they were sharing a room. And there was this like really super hot supermodel and they had a competition of who was going to have sex with her first. And they both were trying. The brother of my friend finally did, and it was like paper thin walls, and you could like hear them, and he's like, I can't believe he's having sex with her. And like, so he came, and she's like, come on my face, come on my face.
Oh my
and
God.
So he like takes his dick out and like comes all over her face, and then he's like, all right. And he went to go get a towel, and she's like, oh no, oh no. She's like, this is the greatest facial mask ever. And so she starts smearing it all over her fucking face. And not only that, she's like, I'm going to go to sleep now. And she slept with the mask on.
I have been saying that.
With all those things swimming on your face.
He said the sex was good, but like, I couldn't fall asleep. Like, how can you fall asleep with someone next to you wearing your cum all night?
She leans over and tries to kiss you, and you're like, no.
Not to mention the pillow stuck to the side of her head.
Wake
when
up in the morning,
over.
It's like something about Mary. Like, uh-huh. She peels it off. She peels it off. It's a peel off. I can't handle this shit.
All of my babies are all over your face. Oh. So first of all, I've been saying these to this boys, like, a cum facial is the best kind
of
facial.
But do you wash it off?
Yes, you have to. Like, so you leave it on for 20 or 30 minutes, and then you go wash it off.
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know.
They're amazing.
It's all well and good, but like, once it's done, like, I got to get that shit off.
Exactly. It's sexy when it's happening.
I'll explain. So I was in cosmetology school for a very long time ago. And one of my teachers said that live cellulose, it is the best thing for facials. And I really didn't understand what she was saying until it just all hit me all at once. Like, oh, now I know what she means. So when sperm, when you ejaculate into a vagina or an asshole, it's looking for that egg for it to
eat
through.
I'm
going to
tell you one thing. It does not tighten my asshole. So if it tightens your face,
Well, honey, your asshole needs work. So what I'm trying to explain is that the purpose of the sperm is to find the egg and chew through it and get in and fertilize and create life, right? Unless you're in a butthole, and then that's sort of kind of
we
impossible.
We all took biology.
And so,
yes, we all did.
So sperm doesn't die off immediately when you ejaculate, right? It takes some time. So when it's all over your face, it's taking all your dead skin cells and sort of kind of chewing through them. So you get an exfoliation as part of the cum facial.
We should put that in the new future method version 2.
Like, seriously. So that's the theory behind it. So I don't mind cum facials. I do.
Oh, God.
That is good to know.
I think that, you know, yes, in theory, and they have like, don't they have like chocolate flavored condoms or something like that too?
Oh, yeah.
They have
cherry. Like chocolate undies and shit.
Throw up in my mouth.
And you know, it's funny because we were at, I was operating and we all were so fiending like a Dairy Queen Blizzard. I don't know why I'm thinking of that right now. Do you guys have Dairy Queen Blizzards up there?
We do.
Yeah, we have them.
Oh, honey, we had a blizzard last Tuesday that blew out power all over the freaking...
Like, oh, dude, I just got power back. We had 6 days without power. I was like shitting and using pool water to flush it down. It was terrible.
That's how you do it.
That's smart.
That is smart. That's smart. If only we could afford a pool.
Well, you don't need a pool. That's why they always say, listen, when you have a storm coming, like, fill up your bathtub with water.
Of course, right.
Because you can use that water to flush things if you're having, like... You know, anyway, let's go.
I've got two more things I want to talk about. All right. So the first thing is I want to talk a little bit about playing with yourself. We've talked a little bit about it, but I know that there are a lot of people that are still nervous to go out and, you know, engage with individuals. What are ways that you can like continue to not go crazy and you know, stay solo? I know that you talk a little bit about like different things that you can do. And I was wondering if you wanted to touch on that.
Well, I mean, I think that I think we hit kind of everything, right? But I do think that one of the things to think about is a lot of it is just the testosterone and the hormone buildup. So a lot of it is just getting yourself off in terms of how you're doing it, right? But, you know, whether it's through sexting, phone sex, whether it's just masturbating, just getting off, you know, when you start to create the prostate to be released and all of that stuff to happen, you feel so much better. Your endorphins are released. But also it kind of calms you down where you don't necessarily need to rush out and like, you know, expose yourself and get yourself off in that way. So again, using toys, I think shower, you know, getting off in the shower, just doing things that are different, understanding your body from a toy perspective for me, especially the people that want to bottom that are these verse kind of individuals where bottoming is not fully, yeah, I know everybody's pointing.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
But this is a good time because the reality for me is if you're using toys and you're having the continued issues with pain or bleeding or irritation, this is a good time to get evaluated either by us or by someone to see like what truly is going on. Especially if you do want a bottom, we can kind of do surgery, get you back to where you need to be, or do some Botox or do things to help get people where they want to be. And then that will hopefully be lifted once the pandemic or once there's a vaccine or whatnot. So it's a really good time to look at ourselves. And I think, again, it's not only sexually, I mean, also from a work perspective, a life perspective, enjoying yourself, trying to figure out what's really important. And so I think that with that, I hope everybody looks at COVID, even though it's catastrophic and it's still going on and people are dying every day, but we have to look at our own lives and be very introspective to try and figure out how do we just live better and be better human beings.
So that being said, right? So let's talk about COVID and how that gets integrated into your current process at the office. So if you have someone that is looking to, for example, get their butthole examined because they're using toys, they're really not comfortable, it's hurting, blah, whatnot, are we doing anything different medically today as a result of COVID as far as what you're allowing yourself to be exposed to or treating versus what you would have before the exposure or before even COVID was a thing? Are you limiting your services right now at Bespoke Surgical as a result of COVID?
No. Now everything, especially in New York, you know, in LA, I haven't been there. And for all my people in LA, I apologize. It's just LA is not happening for a while. With that being said, you know, I think we're trying to make sure people don't have temperatures, people wearing masks. If they have any kind of symptomology, please don't come to my office, right? But all the services from evaluations to ancillary services like bleaching and to laser hair removal, all of those now are full-fledged happening. Awesome. How I am kind of changing on a surgical perspective is that within 72 hours of surgery, we have to have a negative COVID test. And that test needs to be a PCR test, which is a specific way that tests. It's not a rapid test. So there's certain things that we're putting into place. But honestly, I mean, I do 10 to 15 surgeries a week and I see 75 people a week and we do a lot of testing and we have yet to have one person as COVID positive. We've had some antibodies, but I mean, we do a lot of testing and especially in New York, it seems like we've been, you know, kind of in a really good space. And if people are coming from out of state, there's certain states that we have to do specific screening and we have to have two specific COVID tests done before we proceed. So there's certain rules and regulations that we're following. But the reality is that there's people that still are coming from all over. How do we do it as safely as possible and then provide people the services that they need?
If you don't mind, you spoke of those two tests. Can you specifically give us details as to what those two tests are? Like, let's say, for example, someone was interested in coming from DC or from Florida or in any area that was affected heavily as far as numbers go. What do they need to do to ensure that they can safely arrive at your location and be able to get treated?
Yeah, so most of us are asking for within 72 hours of them departing that they would need to have a negative COVID test and no symptoms. Mm-hmm. Then when they come to New York, especially if they're flying or whatnot, then what we do is we let them situate in New York, quarantining themselves. And then after a few days, they'll pop into the office for another repeat test. Gotcha. And then show that they're negative. Some states that, you know, they were doing 14-day quarantines, but now because of medical issues, it constantly is changing. So some people have to have two negative tests. Some people are 14-day quarantining. It really just kind of depends.
Right.
I think that the 14-day was because people don't have access to tests. Mm-hmm. So that number of 14 days was, well, in realistic, even if you didn't get tested in 14 days, you would have been completely, in theory, resolved. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the data of two sequential tests within 72 hours of each other, those two after that, so that's what, about like 6, 7 to 9 days,
right?
You're, with being asymptomatic and two negative tests, the likelihood of you having it is next to nil. I think that nowadays, you know, if you're coming especially for a medical you know condition, we have the access to these tests, and we're getting the results within 24 to 48 hours, that we're able to provide people with the right information at the right time to provide the safety so that now we can do what we need to do surgically.
Right. Awesome.
All right. Well, last but not least, because I know we've been hanging on to this conversation for a while, what I thought was interesting when I started reading this article is you started it off by saying that the New York City Health Department released a fairly progressive guide to having sex during the COVID-19 pandemic. Is this something new? Has the health department ever released anything like this? Because it seems kind of very interesting and progressive to see a health department release something like that.
Right.
Yeah, they do definitely have been a huge proponent. I mean, when you look at L.A. or New York, there's such great progressive access to care. That's why so many people come to New York, specifically because of the kind of health care that's provided by the state and the cities if they need it. So there have been really, really great in terms of giving guidelines, though not necessarily crazy for specifically gay sex or queer sex or community-based sex. It's very, very broad. But now we start to see, especially there's a Dr. Daskalakis who's on that panel, and he's really amazing. And I think that the access now to kind of really throwing everything out there for all communities, especially in New York City, is really, long overdue, but amazing that they're finally putting it out there. And I think the craziest is kind of the glory hole, which I thought was fucking awesome. And then, the come and go situation, which I think is even, just so hysterical. I think nowadays, with popular press, with media, with you guys, all of this is really being so beneficial to all of us, where people are pushing that pendulum to allow these discussions to happen. And that's, think about where we were to where we are now. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So at the end of the day, what I'm hearing is have sex, but stay safe and think, make the right choices.
Yeah, be logical about your choices. I mean, obviously, the choice that I made was to not, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And I think, but if you would have had a test and he would, like, next weekend, if you said, let's go out and then, you want to hook up, you could say, okay, well, why don't we get tested on Wednesday, both of us? You get a swab and the swab comes back on Thursday for your date on Friday. And then you say, hey, look, I'm not completely out of the harm's way, but the likelihood is that if I'm asymptomatic and that's negative, that you guys will not have it. And so, again, it's just trying to figure it out. And the crazy thing about these times is, regardless, even with when the power was out, it's all about communication, right? And how do we start to communicate? And I think you and all, and not that we're old, but as we're aging, you start to realize your wants, your desires, but you also realize how to communicate better.
It's easier.
Yeah, it just gets easier. You start communicating, say, this is who I am and this is what I like. And these are the certain things that we need to make sure, especially in this time, that we're as safe as possible. Right. So come and go as much as you want, but communicate about it.
Well, hopefully all over my face, but
just wash that shit off.
Oh, no, of course.
Maybe 30 minutes later. All right, Dr. G, we love you so much. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Agreed. I'm looking forward to our next month's topic because this one was just titillating.
Of course I am. I'm always
joking.
No, I love Dr. G. Are you kidding me? Well, Dr. G, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are fantastic. And you know that we love you dearly. And we look forward to having you every month.
Awesome. All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye now. Bye.
All right. Well, ladies and gents, that, of course, was the amazing and the awesome Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical. So you heard it. He is obviously operating at full capacity at this point.
In New York, but
there are things that you need to go through to make sure that you keep not only him, but yourself and everyone around you safely. So if you want to reach out to Dr. G, make an appointment, you can go to bespokesurgical.com and go through the process of finding out whether or not an appointment is necessary for your condition. And if you want to go see the great doctor like Chris did, because Chris, you got the magical fingers up his booty hole.
And my credit card's on file, so I can go whenever.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's awesome, right? And so now I want to sort of kind of throw it on the table for the boys and for us and say, do we make really great decisions when it comes to deciding whether or not we want to put ourselves through this in the midst of COVID? So, Trish?
Well, I mean, to be 100% transparent, I haven't had sex during COVID. So, have there been opportunities? Yes. Have I not done it? Yes. But that's also because I'm super paranoid.
Right. Chris?
I kind of want to bang with my mask on now.
You want to bang with your mask on now?
Yeah.
You're going to get all kinky.
I think that could be kinky.
So, in other words, he's been banging throughout this whole process.
No. With a mask on. No?
A little bit.
No. Oh, well.
But safe. One partner.
Well, that's important.
Constant testing, too.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, and unfortunately, no. We didn't want to, right? We were having a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we decided collectively, yeah, we shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, right? I don't know if I went to the supermarket and exposed myself. I don't know if you, on your way here, exposed yourself.
It's getting harder, though, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. And so we collectively decided that, you know, although...
No pun intended. Wait, pun intended?
Yeah, pun intended. You know, we collectively decided that because we were just meeting for the first time, and I think that, you know, if things are meant to be, we'll have plenty of opportunities to engage that way if we want to, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, it was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. He was a gorgeous guy. And but in the end... We decided that we were not going to pursue that avenue, and instead we enjoyed. I've had one of the most amazing evenings I've ever had with someone.
Yeah, and conversating. I've been enjoying sexting like my, you know.
Yeah, and so on it, and so. That's awesome.
Because it does.
And so, just, you know, in the end, you're an adult. You make your own decisions. Just be mindful that, you know, whatever you decide, you impact someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Always remember that.
All right, so.
So that being said, do we have anything else that we're going to tee up or talk about before
it's
we...
It's up to Chris.
Christopher?
No, I'm good.
You're good? All right. So listen, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. So of course, I'm going to toss it over to our... Did you put it in the notes?
What?
Gay Talk Time and on this day in gay history?
Yeah, it's in the notes.
Yeah, I did it all.
I'm not showing it here. Okay.
That's right. We got this.
All right. So anyway. So, oh, there it is. All right. So, Nick? We'll toss it over to you.
All right, everybody.
May he have a counter, please? Oh, life is so painful hard. Right now. So like, hard. Pull up the goddamn motherfucking counter.
That involves buttons.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Your butthole involves buttons,
here
too, but nobody's complaining.
Here is Mama Kim's Minute.
Go!
All right, number one. Fallen ICU doctor's husband responds to Trump's It Is What It Is.
I watched that. So disgusting.
Horrible. Ugh. Two, Richie Torres has officially beat the homophobic Trump supporter. Three, two black gay politicians poised to make congressional history.
That's right.
Four, Hulu's Love, Victor is coming back for a second season.
Season two.
Five, mom secretly made pot brownies for AIDS patients, and it changed my life. That is Mama Kim's Minute, everybody.
I sort of kind of want to like dig into that last story.
Yeah, we're going to
be amazing.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing.
We'll save it for next week.
Yeah, of course. All right. So this week's Gay Talk term, we'll throw it back to Trish.
All right, everybody. This week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com,
is Red Hot Mama.
Ooh.
A Red Hot Mama is a young homosexual who thinks of himself as a sex symbol.
I was going to think, like, maybe that would have been, like, Mama Kim, but then when you read the description,
yeah,
I was like, no.
But Red we all know Mama. That. As we get older, we all see those people come in, and they're like, I'm like, I used to be that person.
Yeah, I know. I have several people that walk into the bar. And I'm just like, God, what I would do.
We all know who they are.
I can't wait until you get a little pouch. A little bit of a...
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I didn't have any fat on my body.
So do I.
Those were, like, long days ago.
But the days.
But you know what? And just I just want to point this out because it's very important to do so. I am 100% happy with who I am as a person, as a human, and who I am today. And so what I was... is only an extension of what I am today. And it's
your mom
not,
called me thick, so.
That's right. and it's not all about being the perfect body. It's unrealistic. You can't do that for the rest of your life. It just can't happen unless you have really, 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 really good genes. So if you want that goddamn slice of pizza, eat the goddamn slice of pizza. If you want that burrito, go for it.
They make burritos healthy.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, it's don't live your life based on
you live how
what
you
other
live.
People think you should look like, and don't let people shame you for who you are as a person. I have been a little thicker through the better part of my half of my life at this point, and I'm okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, then that's your problem. I'm going to still eat my pizza and be me and be the best part of me, right? Yeah. And so you do you. Don't fall into this whole gay lifestyle. Oh my God, everybody needs to have a ripped body and you have to go to the gym 7 days a week and do all of that stuff. No, you don't need to do that.
But if you do, it's fine.
Yeah. Be healthy for you. You don't need to do it for anybody else. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Christopher?
My turn?
Yes, sir.
I suppose. On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
That's right. When August 10th, 2011, in the Czech Republic, it began its first Pride Week. I believe it started in their capital, but really went across the country. So the celebration lasted until August 14th, with the traditional parade happening on August 13th. It was a peaceful event, though, of course, was met with some vocal opponents.
Opposition,
yeah. Opposition.
Of course it would be. I mean, there's when have we not been opposed any time in our history, right?
That's right. We won't be silenced.
Just sucky-ass people. Anyway, ladies and gents, of course, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. Doing so allows you to have access to the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations can be in any denomination of a dollar or more and are collected monthly, and we are certainly grateful and thankful for your donations. Nicholas?
Nope.
Christopher.
My turn.
Christopher. Sorry.
I am still here. Next week, we're very excited.
Barely.
Very, very, yes, that's true, but I am here. Next week, we're very excited because it's definitely going to be a great conversation. We are going to be welcoming Elena Joy Thurston, who is a devout Mormon. Who was a devout Mormon for more than 20 years and in a traditional marriage for 18 years before she confronted her internal struggle with her own sexuality. After submitting herself to conversion therapy, Elena became an activist for the LGBTQ+ community, recently launching the Pride and Joy Foundation.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It's going to be a great conversation.
I can't wait to learn more about the Pride and Joy Foundation because I have no idea really what it is.
It's going to be amazing.
We're going to find out.
I know. So thank you to our guest, our monthly guest, Dr. G. As always, we love having you on the show. And don't forget, get your discount today for Future Method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs or STIs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum, and now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off one purchase or one subscription per person.
Does anyone else get nervous when he doesn't show up that you might be pregnant? Because he's like our period, but he's our period that I look forward to. We get him once a month.
I know, he was late
and when
month
he's
too.
Not, yeah,
I was like, it's late. I'm like, it's late. I was wearing a mask. I can't be pregnant. Oh my God. That was good. That was good. I love it. See?
Great. I'm going to go throw up now.
Like, seriously.
Speaking of pregnant,
morning sickness.
Should we put a.
Yes. Let's put a mask and a rubber on this.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right.
COVID sex. We're playing it safe. All right, ladies and gentlemen, in betweens. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the contact us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can make suggestions, also submit a question for the cast or an individual host, and you can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We'll answer that for you on the show. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. If you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. You look like you have something to say.
And if you're in Connecticut and you're listening tonight, make sure you go out and vote tomorrow. If you're listening tomorrow, make sure you go out and vote today.
Tomorrow.
If they're listening tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. If you're listening tomorrow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And wear your mask and make sure. Yeah. Anyway, ladies and gents, that is our show. We would like to thank you for joining us tonight. Y'all have a fantastic night. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.